Well, I'd like to thank you for your unique testimony. It shows how we create the communities we create, of free inquiry, of experimentation, and of change. Unitarian Universalists actually accept the idea that we as human beings make mistakes and change. And we go through different periods as flowers go through different stages of life. And if only more human beings of a political persuasion as well as a personal persuasion could someday admit, whoops, that was a mistake and I've gone past that and gone through that. And to me, that's part of what a whole religious awareness is about. We're not running against Brand X or against any kind of orthodoxy. People should go where their spirits are nourished and they can say yes and not feel hypocritical. Unitarian Universalists should go to places where we are comfortable not having all of the answers, but having the freedom to ask the questions, to explore our own values, and to say yes to life and yes to a whole variety of images and not let them have to be defined by somebody else. One of those old sermons that I'm sure people from a Christian background heard over and over again at Christmas was the condemnation of Christmas, saying, let's put the Christ back in Christmas. It's become too commercial. Well, my sermon today, at least partially, is let's put the East back in Easter. It's a modest proposal, but I think it's important because East is in the root of Easter. It is where the sun rises. It is a metaphor for all of hope. And as the song that we sang during the infant dedication is, without the dark, there is no light. We recognize the cycles of the human heart, of the physical world, of light and of dark, of hope and despair. We do not believe, and indeed if you read scriptures, both the Psalms and the Passion, you will find that having to have a constant faith and a constant upbeat attitude is not a spiritual requirement. It is denial of the real challenges and fears and seasons of the heart. That's why a holiday, a holy day like Easter, makes so much good emotional sense to human beings. Because all of us, at one time or another, if we are old enough, have sat even in the light of morning and had it feel dark. Had it close in over us for a moment. And when you read the Psalms, and you read David sometimes going, isn't life great? Isn't it wonderful? And then you read, why are my opponents prospering and I'm sitting here in ashes? When you read the penultimate words of Jesus, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? You get a sense that real spirituality is being connected to the reality of life, of hope, of fear, of despair, and it is not in pretending that everything is fantastic, everything is always all right. Easter and spring are a joy because there's winter. Freud thought that our monotheism, Western monotheism, came from Egypt. And came from Aton Ra, from that single sun god. I don't know, but it is clear that human beings are heliotrophic, like so many plants, like sunflowers. We turn towards the sun as a source of light, of life, of inspiration, of warmth. We turn towards the light and to the direction of the light in the hope that the sun will shine again on our earth and in our hearts. We are a part of a cycle. Now, Garrison Keillor, one of the foremost experts on Unitarian Universalism, says that Unitarian Universalists at Easter have a big problem. we turn Easter into a botany lecture. And his exact words are, Unitarians do everything but talk about him. And we all know who him is. And we're not doing H-Y-M either. We don't talk about Jesus. Well, let me talk about Jesus a little bit, just to annoy Garrison, if not you. My best friend, when I was at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, was studying to be a Roman Catholic priest. He was a Franciscan brother. I was there at his ordination to the diaconate. I was there when he was elevated to the priesthood and got to transubstantiate for the first time, and it was every bit as much a thrill for him as, well, never mind, Chris. And I remember, and this is a very intelligent, scientific person who went on to get a PhD in marine biology, and I asked him what was it that he believed. And he said, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is alive today, and that his life is there to touch and to change people. Well, yes. Yes. I certainly agree. I think that there is no question of that within my system of belief, and I think within the system of every religion and political and scientific theory that I am aware of, what happens today has an influence on tomorrow, has consequences that touch human beings. There is no question that the fact of Jesus' existence, whatever the facts were, that is an idea that has had consequences, terrible sometimes and beautiful and inspirational at other times, that has touched hearts and changed lives. And I think that one of the things that we as Unitarian Universalists affirm is that this is true for all of us. Our lives make a difference. What we do and what we choose has consequences beyond what we can possibly calculate. Whether we're talking about a Jewish system, a Christian, a Muslim, whether we're talking about karma, whether we are talking about a Darwinian or a Marxist universe, what goes on today has consequences tomorrow. What happened in the past makes today possible. Last week I promised that it would be about sex this week, so I've got to put this in, the part that Chris left out. There were single-cell organisms, and at some point they were certainly immortal. The first amoeba still lives, and it divides away, but it doesn't change. It doesn't grow. It just divides away. There's no exchange of genetic information. Somewhere where two single-cell units got together to cooperate to build something greater, life in its fullest sense began. When we join, when we exchange, when we challenge, there is an exchange of ideas, of information, that is a challenge to make us grow as human beings. And it's a challenge that has gone on since before we were human beings. When the first creatures crawled out of the ocean and tried to take a breath of air, how successful that experiment was is hard to calculate, but we know what it led to. And it led to animals with legs, and it led to some of those standing up on their hind legs, maybe to see a predator, or maybe to reach up in the Garden of Eden and pluck a piece of fruit off of a tree. But someone stood up on the hind legs for the first time, and it made a difference. Someone sat down on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, and it made a difference. Someone stood in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square, and it is seared into our memories. Not everything that we do turns out to be successful. Maybe the first couple of million creatures that tried to get together and make a two-celled organism didn't make it. Maybe a couple of million creatures that came out of the ocean didn't come out to survive and to breed. Maybe the first animal that stood on its hind legs to pluck that piece of fruit got sighted by a predator and came down. But all of the unsuccessful experiments were successful in a way. And as I reach these kind of tween years with grandchildren and children and loss of parents, I am so aware of the legacies that we get from the past. The little things that people have done in my life that have touched my heart, changed my heart, illuminated my eyes. As I become older, I am aware of my experiments, the ones that failed that I learned from, the ones that succeeded whose message that I sometimes missed for a decade or so. But I know that I do not live alone in time. I do not live alone in the universe. I live with a heritage of experiments, of efforts. I carry the wisdom and the gifts and the burdens of the long distant past, and as I carry them, I make choices about what I keep and what I discard and what I pass on to the next generation and the generation after that. It is sunrise and it is sunset, and that is part of the power of a holiday and a holy day like Easter. More about him. When we look at literature, great literature and drama, you see in tragedy the Greek chorus. You have the great heroes, then you have the chorus who is the every man and every woman, caught up in the passions, caught up in the excitement, caught up in the prejudices, caught up in the mob mentality. When you look at Shakespeare, you see Hamlet, a king, and then you see Laertes, his kind of mortal shadow, the everyman. When we look at the story of in the Gospels of Jesus, we see a figure that has been morphed through and midwife through Greek mythology and Hellenistic mystery cults into a high perfection that is distant for most people. Much of the power of the message of Easter and of Good Friday for me comes in the story of Peter and Judas. They are the everyman figures. Both of them betray Jesus and betray themselves and their own values. Judas, by in his anger and frustration, selling him out and then repenting. And Peter saying, I will be faithful, I will be faithful. And Jesus making a pun of, you are the rock upon which I will build my church, when Peter is anything but a rock, Petrus. He is frightened, he is human, he is everyone. So Peter, in fact, denies Jesus several times. No, I don't know him. No, I wasn't with him. No, you are mistaking me for somebody else. No, it's not me. We all look alike. I understand that, but it's not me. Both of them sink into despair. Both of them go through the midnight of the soul. Both of them are covered with the darkness of the burial pit. Judas completes the betrayal of life by destroying himself. Peter, whose sin was as great, climbs out of the pit towards the light. He is heliotropic. He finds the light again. And he gets up bruised and battered and aware of his imperfections and goes on anyway to spread his good news. That, to me, is exemplary of the human condition. That is exemplary of the choices that we make. We cannot control whether darkness falls in on us, but we have some choices about turning back towards the light, and it is that choice, that extraordinary freedom, that Easter celebrates. The sunrise, we can feel its pull in the east as we turn towards light and we turn towards hope. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly flow the years, seasons turning into each other. This is how we live together on a planet. This is how we live together in these moments of time, a time of sunrise, of sunset, of winters, summers, and springs. And those winters, summers, and springs in our hearts might not coincide exactly with the heavens and with the earth, but we know that seasons change. And we know that together we are stronger to face the darkness, to give each other warmth, to whisper to each other, believe in the sunrise. Believe that when that sun rises in the east, your spirits can rise with it. Believe that what you do and what you choose to do today has consequences beyond what we can imagine. Our lives ripple out to the edge of time. And so what looks like just a moment, what is just a moment, is a moment that has consequences as great as those two amoebas coming together to say, in their own way, yes to a greater sense of life. Easter is about saying yes to a greater sense of life, a sense infinitely enriched by our connection to life, to the sunrise, our acceptance of the darkness, and the fact that we journey for a time with each other. Happy Easter.